All right, praise God. Father, we just want to thank you for the message today, and we want to get into some stuff today that is really foundational, and it's really foundational to the principles of walking in Christ and walking in his blessings and walking in his promises. So these things God showed me a long time ago in the Bible and really developed it as the foundation of the Christian's life, the foundation of the believer's life. So we'll get into this right off the bat by demonstrating one of the promises that we've all heard. And I'm sure all of us, when we saw this scripture, became really excited for a moment. But then we thought, I'm not experiencing this scripture. So that sounds good. And that's how a lot of scriptures were for me in my early Christian life, was that sounds great, but how come I'm not experiencing that in my life? So we're going to get into some of that today. And we'll get right into it. And Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Okay? And we'll just stop right there for now, and we'll cover that. And this is the million-dollar question, isn't it? If no weapon against me shall prosper, how come in the church it seems like the weapon prospers quite often in some of our lives? I mean, has anybody experienced that? Has anybody thought, man, the weapon seems to be prospering in my life? Why is that? Okay, and notice what happens. The second you experience the weapon prospering, you immediately think that scripture's not for me, or it must not be true. And that's something that occurs in the parable of the sower sowing the seed. The enemy comes immediately to steal the word. Okay, so we're going to reinforce this word today, and we're going to show you why this is for you, but we're going to show you what's connected to this. Because there is a qualification in this scripture, okay? There is something that sets the boundary of what will cause no weapon that is formed against you to prosper. Okay, and this is just one of the promises in a string of promises. Okay, so I really encourage everybody after church to go back and really read the two chapters, including 53, Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 54, because it's all about the new covenant, and it's all about what Jesus is going to do for us, and then a lot of the promises that come out of Jesus doing that for us. So if we can get this truth today, it'll start changing your life. Okay, so if we want to look at the qualification, we want to look at, well, how can I get no weapon that is formed against me to prosper? How can I experience that? And so we want to go back to Isaiah 54:14, because this is the qualification. Okay, this is what has to happen. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Okay, so the first part of this is the key to what we're talking about, and we'll cover the second part of this. In righteousness shalt thou be established. The key to experiencing no weapon against you prospering is to establish yourself in righteousness. Okay, and this is one of the big problems within the body of Christ, and it was a big problem in my life. I wasn't establishing myself in righteousness. And all the times I sought to establish myself in righteousness, I went about it the wrong way. And many believers I talk to in the body of Christ, they're doing the same thing. They're trying to establish themselves in righteousness, but they're establishing themselves in the wrong kind of righteousness. And it just leads them back to this place where the weapons that are formed against them shall prosper. Okay, so when you're reading Isaiah 54, this is the qualification. In righteousness shalt thou be established. And then you start seeing some of the promises. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Those are just some of the promises, okay? And then he goes on in the next couple of verses, hitting some of the other promises. I'm not going to take the time to explain all those, because what we're talking about today is being established in righteousness, okay? What is righteousness? And what kind of righteousness are we talking about here? Okay, and this is where we can get confused sometimes, and unless it's just me, unless I'm the only one that gets confused about this. But whose righteousness are we talking about that we're establishing in? Our righteousness? Am I being established in how much I read the Bible? How much I pray? How many of the commandments I'm able to follow? Or am I being established in God's righteousness? What has God done for me? What did Jesus do on the cross? And this is what we want to talk about, because this concept of righteousness has gotten skewed, and it's been primarily skewed by the church, by and large. The church has taught us that we need to be righteous. We need to establish ourselves in righteousness. And this type of righteousness the church teaches us is following the commandments. Live righteously for God. Okay, but this righteousness that it's talking about is God's kind of righteousness. Whenever the Bible talks about righteousness, it talks about God's kind of righteousness when it talks about the righteousness that we're supposed to be established in. It's not talking about man's righteousness. Okay? So, there's a couple of questions that we get stuck asking ourselves. How can I be righteous if I don't do righteousness? Okay, that's one of the big questions people like to present to everybody. How can I be righteous if I don't do righteousness? How can that be? And the first thing you want to ask yourself was, how did Jesus become sin on the cross when he had done no sin? It's the same principle at work here. Jesus became sin on the cross even though he hadn't done any sin. Okay? In the same manner, we've become righteous even though we can't do righteousness because of that same principle, because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's the principle that's going on here. Okay, that's what he's talking about. And the problem with righteousness in the church is that we're all seeking righteousness through the law. And the righteousness you seek from the law keeps you as an immature believer. It keeps you as a child in Christ. It keeps you from walking around in the promises of God. Okay, because you're seeking righteousness through the law. And if any of you are like me, that's all you heard growing up. That's all I heard growing up was teaching about righteousness through the law. Do this, do that, live like this, live like that. Follow this law, follow this commandment, and then you can be righteous. And then God will be pleased with you. Okay, follow the law. There are those that want to teach you, you must follow the law to be righteous with God. You must follow the commandments to be righteous with God. But Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness comes by us following the commandments, then there would have been no need for a Savior. Guys, we would have never needed Jesus Christ if righteousness came by following the law. Christ came and died for vain. So this teaching that we have to follow the commandments to be righteous with God so that God can see us righteous, that contradicts what Jesus did, and it actually says you don't need Jesus. That's what Paul was teaching in Galatians 2:21. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ has died in vain. We don't need a Savior, guys, if we can be righteous through the law. Okay, that's one of the first concepts we want to start thinking about in our head. My righteousness does not lie in whether or not I can follow the commandments or live holy. My righteousness lies in the fact that Jesus followed the commandments and Jesus lived holy. Okay? One of the other teachings that comes out of this, well, if you teach people they're righteous apart from the law and apart from the commandments, that's just going to lead them to sin. It's just going to lead them to sinning. Okay? That couldn't be further from the truth. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. And that's one of the biggest perversions in the teaching of the body of Christ, is how badly misunderstood that scripture has been. Okay? The scripture is, awake to righteousness and then you sin not. Okay? The problem is, we're asleep to what God calls righteousness, and we're awake to what man calls righteousness. Okay? And that's what leads to sinning. The truth, God's truth, is that a revelation of his righteousness inside of the believer, that's what leads to not sinning. Not a revelation of the law and the commandments. Okay? That's mixing covenants, guys. Well, you know, there's two kinds of righteousness. There's a righteousness you receive by grace as a free gift, and then there's a righteousness that you have to perform. That's mixing the covenant, guys. And that's also keeping us immature to the truth. It's keeping us asleep in righteousness when we think that, well, we initially receive righteousness as a gift, but then we have to perform righteousness to stay righteous. And that if we fail after we receive righteousness as a gift, then we have to get right with God. How was righteousness received to begin with? Was it a free gift? Did you do anything to earn righteousness to begin with? Then why would you continue in righteousness any other way? Why do we receive righteousness as a free gift and then try to carry on in righteousness through our works and through the law and through the commandments? That very thing contradicts itself. That very concept contradicts itself, guys. It's two different things. You can't start down one path. If only one path leads to the end of the course, you can't start down a different path and still expect to get to the end. Okay? So if we started down this path of righteousness through a free gift, then why are we trying to pursue it through our works and the law? Why does that make sense to us? Why do we believe that righteousness comes through the law? Okay? And this is one of the worst teachings in the body of Christ, because when you get caught up into believing that the commandments and the law earns you your righteousness, it keeps you as a babe in Christ. It keeps you from walking in the promises. It's one of the things that keeps the weapons formed against you prospering. Okay, because you don't understand the blessings that you have. Notice what it says in 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. He wants us to establish ourselves in righteousness. What is established? Okay, what does this established mean? How many of you know that you can have something and not be aware that you have it? Have any of you ever experienced that? I've experienced it all the time in my life, and it happens often, but one time particular I can remember, I was standing in line to buy tickets, and I had my wallet in my hand, but I had a bunch of other papers in my hand because we were sitting down waiting in a long line to buy tickets, and so I was reading something. And when the line came to stand up so we could get our tickets, I stood up, and the first thing I wanted to do was make sure I had my money, okay? Well, I couldn't see my wallet in my hand because I had the papers on top of it. So I immediately started freaking out and moving people out of the way. Where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? Well, the wallet was in my hand the whole time, okay? So I had my wallet, but I wasn't aware of it, okay? So you're righteous right now. Everybody sitting in here, everybody who's received Jesus Christ as their Savior is righteous in God's eyes, okay? But if you're not aware of your righteousness, if you're not aware that God sees you as righteous, then it's not doing anything for you. I couldn't use my wallet when I didn't think I had it. It couldn't give me peace that I had the money to buy the tickets when I thought I lost it. Okay, if you're not aware that you're righteous, then you're not receiving the promises. So this is one of the things that a believer should always be doing. They should always be reminding themselves of their righteousness. How many of you know that things come into your life every day trying to tell you you're not righteous? How many of you have ever experienced that? How many of you ever looked in the mirror and thought, I'm not righteous? I mean, your eyes tell you you're not righteous, don't they? Okay, that contradicts the word, though, and that's one of the reasons why the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And we over-spiritualize those scriptures and think, faith, faith. But then we never think about what it means. Part of having faith is believing that you're righteous because of what God did and not what you do. Even though all your senses tell you that you don't look righteous, even though your actions tell you you're not righteous, God the Father says you are righteous, and you're righteous because of what Jesus did. So one of the things that a believer wants to put to work in their life is to constantly remind themselves that they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why am I the righteousness of God? Is it I'm the righteousness of God in myself? No. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When we believe that the commandments and the law is what makes us righteous with God, what we're saying is I'm the righteousness of God in myself. In myself, I'm the righteousness of God. You guys sitting around here, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Yeah. To think that I'm the righteousness of God in myself? That's what we're saying when we believe it's the law and the commandments. And one of the things the devil has done to burden and destroy the body of Christ was to dumb down the teaching of the cross and to dumb down what God did through the finished work of Jesus. And he attacked the very foundation, which was our righteousness. Okay, why did God have to remove the law from righteousness? Because if the law was there, no one could be righteous, and the devil could constantly accuse you of your unrighteousness. When you receive accusation, it isn't God accusing you. It isn't the Holy Spirit convicting you of your unrighteousness. The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. He convicts us of righteousness. So it's the devil that wants us to believe that we're not righteous. Why does he want us to believe that we're not righteous? Because he doesn't want us to walk in the abundant life. He doesn't want us to walk in the promises that God gave us. Okay, so we want to establish ourselves in righteousness so that we'll be far from oppression, so that we won't fear, we won't have any terror, it won't come near us, and that no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. In every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Okay, this is the part that we miss because we don't connect this to what it's talking about. But we want to look at this in context. What is he talking about? He's talking about a new covenant promise that God has established us in righteousness through the finished work of Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Okay, so when he talks about condemning every tongue that rises up against you, he's talking about condemning every tongue or every thought that comes against you telling you you're not righteous. That's what he's talking about condemning. Whenever you have thoughts about not being righteous, you want to come against that and you want to point to the finished work of Jesus. And this really angers religious people when you get people who are struggling with sin to say out loud, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All of us should be confessing that in our life. And we should be confessing it in the very eyes of what we struggle with. If anybody ever struggles with anything, if anybody goes through trials in their life, you want to be aware that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And how do you do that? You do it by confessing it out loud. You don't do it based on what you look like. You do it based on what Jesus looks like. Is Jesus righteous? You know, sometimes it's hard for us to accept this because we don't know what Jesus did on the cross. And I encourage everybody to go back and read Isaiah 53 because Jesus paid a hefty price for our righteousness. And sometimes it's hard for us to believe we're righteous because we don't think we've done anything to be righteous. And there's a big disconnect there because of that. But Jesus paid a hefty price for us to be righteous. He earned our righteousness, okay? We receive it as a free gift, but he earned it. And if you ever want to know what the price was, go back and read Isaiah 53 after church today. And you'll see the price that Jesus paid for our righteousness. But it's back to this point. Did God treat Jesus as a sinner on the cross? He did, didn't he? Didn't Jesus receive all the punishment of a sinner? Will God treat us as we're righteous? Will God treat us as righteous? That's the question you want to ask yourself. If God treated Jesus as a sinner on the cross, and we all agreed that he did, then he's going to treat us like we're righteous because we've received Jesus' righteousness, and he received our sin. Most Christians will agree that Jesus received their sin and that he died for their sins. And then they cut it off right there. They forget what that really means. They forget that that means we're righteous and that we're not righteous because of what we do. We're righteous because of what he did. And there's a lack of awareness in the body of Christ about this. And it's that very awareness that keeps us from walking in the promises. And human beings love practical things and they love knowing what's the problem, how do I walk this out? And that's what I experienced in the body of Christ. And the Lord really put this on my heart when he was telling me to start the church. And some of you have heard this a lot, and I'll say it a lot, but I really thought that I was just going to teach people about the principles of the Bible. And I got to praying and asking God, God, I see all these promises in the Bible. Why aren't more Christians walking in the abundant life? And it was real clear. I heard in the Spirit, they don't know how righteous they are. And that's the problem in the body of Christ. We don't know how righteous we are. And we don't hear enough teaching about how righteous we are. And everything in our physical lives tells us the opposite. tell us how unrighteous we are. Shame comes against us. Guilt comes against us. Condemnation comes against us. All those things are contrary to righteousness. Whenever condemnation comes against me, do you know what the Lord leads me to do? What I told you. I put my hand in the air and I say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm condemning that word. I'm condemning the word of condemnation that comes against me. If shame tries to come against me for something in my past or something that I failed at, I condemn that word. I say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I say. When guilt tries to come against me for something I've done or something I've failed in, I don't accept it. I condemn it. I say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And religious people hate hearing that because they think, oh, you're just leading people to sin. But we've already covered awake to righteousness, and then you don't sin. See, we got it backwards. The body of Christ is focusing on not sinning. All the while, we're sleeping to righteousness. The key to not sinning is awaking to how righteous you are. Whenever you receive condemnation, whenever you receive shame, whenever you receive guilt, that perpetuates the thing you're struggling with. That's what keeps you asleep to righteousness. If you meditate on the guilt, if you meditate on the shame, if you meditate on the condemnation, you're sleeping to the fact that you're righteous. You're not understanding that you're righteous. And it's a horrible teaching in the body of Christ that has permeated for hundreds of years now, and even thousands of years, since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the gospel being taught, since the beginning of Paul being taught. You know, people blasted Paul because Paul went on and on about removing the law. The law is the commandment, guys. You know, religious people want to say that the law is separate than the commandments, okay? That contradicts what the Bible says. Jesus himself called the law one thing, the whole law. It's written over and over. If you've transgressed one law, you've transgressed them all, okay? You can't rip part of the law away from the law, okay? The law is one body, okay? And Paul preached against righteousness through the law. That's called works righteousness, guys. What you're saying is that you can earn your righteousness. You're saying you don't need Jesus. You don't need what Jesus did on the cross. It's a trick to keep us feeling unrighteous, guys. And when we feel unrighteous, we don't believe that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. In fact, when we feel unrighteous, we believe that the weapons against us will prosper. And not only do we believe they'll prosper, we kind of believe we deserve it. Don't you? I mean, don't you kind of believe that you deserve it inside yourself? And studies have proven that the cells in the human body all recognize what the mind's thinking. And they get in line to try and give you what you're thinking. So if you think you deserve condemnation, if you think you deserve shame and guilt, all your cells are going to get together and they're going to say, let's give him what he wants. You can't walk in the promises if you don't understand how righteous you are. One of the biggest things Jesus accomplished on the cross was he gave us righteousness as a free gift. A free gift, guys. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. This concept that once you receive it, you have to then earn it through the law contradicts the gospel, and it mixes the covenant. The old covenant has passed away. The Bible says the old covenant has passed away. It's become obsolete. It's become disannulled. What do those words mean? It means that it no longer has a bearing in our relationship with God. Well, then why are we so centered on following the commandments as a means of earning our righteousness, as a means of thinking that we're righteous? Okay, these are what these scriptures are preaching against. In righteousness shalt thou be established. We want to be aware, and back to this awareness thing, like I said, guys, we're all righteous in here. So it's not that I got to make you righteous through my preaching. Jesus has made you righteous. Okay, the message today is trying to get you to be aware of your righteousness and to be aware of why you're righteous. So when you walk out of here and start walking through your daily life, you could start reminding yourself, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Because when you build your foundation on the righteousness of God instead of the righteousness of man, that's when no weapon that is formed against you won't prosper. That's when that scripture starts coming to pass. Praise God. That's what started changing my life. You know, just like any other human being, I've struggled with lots of things, and I've struggled with fear, I've struggled with worry, and once I started realizing, once I got the revelation that my righteousness was in God and not in myself, I became free, and I stopped trying to earn my righteousness. And then the funny thing is, I started seeing all the promises of God operating in my life because I had awoken to righteousness. I had awakened to righteousness. Everybody turn to 1 Corinthians. Well, maybe I have it up here. Hold on. But 1 Corinthians 15:34 is what we're going to try and look for here. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Okay? Awake to righteousness and sin not. Guys, we want to awake to righteousness today. We want everybody in here today to wake up to the fact that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it has nothing to do with what you've done, with what you can do, or with what you will do. Remove yourself from the fact that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the gospel is about. That's what the gospel is teaching us, to remove ourselves. If you want to seek righteousness, seek it through what Christ did, not through the commandments, not through the law. Am I encouraging people to sin? No. I'm just saying the way to stop sinning is to realize your righteousness is in God. Is everybody sinning in the church? Has all the preaching of the law and the commandments stopped sinning? Then why are we still pursuing it? That's man's way to deal with sin. God's way to deal with sin is to put us in his righteousness. It's through a revelation of the righteousness of God that causes sin to cease. It's not through our human effort, guys. It's through our awareness. The more aware we become of the righteousness of God, the more righteous we become. That's what we're trying to teach ourselves. That's what we want to embrace. Back to being aware of something. Galatians 4:1 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." Is he Lord of all? Scripture says he's Lord of all, but what does it say? As long as he is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant. The devil wants to keep us immature in the word of righteousness so that we will be like a servant, even though we've been made Lord of all. He wants to keep us immature in the word of righteousness, guys. And the Bible calls it unskilled in the word of righteousness. And when you're unskilled in the word of righteousness, you're as a babe in Christ, and you need milk, not strong meat. The beginning principle of the doctrine of Christ is the word of righteousness. Well, whose righteousness are we talking about again? Every time we hear that word, our human brains think about what we need to do, don't they? I mean, when I grew up, every time I saw that word righteousness in the Bible, I immediately thought about what I needed to do. Well, if I could, all right, let me add in some more commandments this week. If I can do this much of the law this week, then I'll be more righteous. That leads you to being a servant, even though you be Lord of all. The guy's he's Lord of all, but he's not aware that he's Lord of all. Praise God. The body of Christ has become Lord of all through the finished work of Jesus and through the righteousness of God, but we're not aware of it. And so we're walking around like servants. We're walking around seeking to serve through ourselves to please God and to make God think that we're righteous. That contradicts the gospel, guys. And not only does it contradict the gospel, forget about that. It doesn't bear godly fruit in our lives. Okay? I wasn't bearing any godly fruit when I was walking around trying to please God through the law. And I'm a highly disciplined individual. And so I got to a point where I really thought I could. And that did not lead to godly fruit, guys. Do you know what that leads to? Self-righteousness. Judgment of others. Critical. You're critical of everybody. What does self-righteousness lead to? Who was self-righteous in the Bible? The Pharisees. What were the Pharisees doing? Seeking to please God and earn their righteousness through the law. That's what the church is doing all over again now, guys. All we hear about is the law and the commandments and how if we could follow more of the commandments, if we could just stop sinning in our life, then we could be righteous. God says, no, righteousness is a free gift. Romans 5:17 says that righteousness is a free gift. It's a free gift. You can't earn a free gift, guys. And something that's given to you freely, you don't have to earn it later, okay? That contradicts the truth. So here we go, Hebrews 5:12 and 13, and we'll start getting into this. And this is just furthering the idea that we want to awake to righteousness, and we want to move on into the promises of God that come from establishing ourselves in righteousness, okay? For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What makes us unskilled in the word of righteousness, guys? It's when we think righteousness is by performing the commandments and the law. That makes us unskilled in the word of righteousness, because that's not God's righteousness. God's righteousness is faith. Faith is God's righteousness. It's not following the commandments and the law. So when we think that we have to perform to earn God's favor, when we think we have to perform to be righteous in God's eyes, we're unskilled in the word of righteousness. Notice what he calls the word of righteousness. It is the first principles of the sayings of God. That word oracles is sayings. The first principles in the sayings of God is the word of righteousness. What did he say in Isaiah 54:14? In righteousness shalt thou be established. The foundation of the Christian life, the foundation of the believer's life, should be the fact that they've been made righteous through the finished work of Jesus, not through the commandments and not through the law. That's how you move on to strong meat. That's how you start walking in the blessings that are all yours. That's how you start realizing that you're Lord of all instead of being a servant. That's how you start experiencing the fact that you're Lord of all instead of experiencing the fact that you're a servant. You know, when I was trying to please God, I felt like a servant. I did. I never had peace. It never stopped. I was constantly trying to make God happy with me. Every day I would wake up and think, if I can only do this better, God will be more happy with me. If I could only do this better, then I would have more peace in my life. That's a trap of the law. That's the doctrine of devils, guys. That's the doctrine of devils to teach us that we have to follow the commandments to earn our righteousness, that God won't be pleased with us if we're not following all the commandments. That's the doctrine of devils, guys. That's what the devil wants us to believe. Why does he want us to believe it? Because it will keep us unskilled in the word of righteousness. And that leaves us as a babe. It leaves us as a child. What happens when you're a child?
Let's turn to Ephesians 4:14.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Anybody felt like they've been tossed to and fro through their Christian life? Anybody felt like they're just flapping around in the wind? That one week feels great, but then the next week, what happened? One week you feel like you're the righteousness of God, the next week you're receiving the condemnation and the shame and the guilt. It's because the church has established our hearts in works righteousness. The church has taught us that our righteousness is tied up in what we do. There's never any peace in that. You might have a good week because you might think, I was really holy this week, praise God. But all our works are as filthy rags. Isaiah said it himself. What did God say? There is not one. No, there is not one that is righteous. There's not one of us who is righteous apart from faith. We cannot use the law and the commandments to make ourselves righteous, guys. And when we pursue God through that avenue, we're tossed to and fro because we're babes, because we're unskilled in the word of righteousness. God wants us to be skilled in the word of righteousness, guys. Being skilled in the word of righteousness means that I'm the righteousness of God because of Christ Jesus, not because of what I do. That's what being skilled in the word of righteousness is. That's what waking up to righteousness is. Every day we should wake up to righteousness. Every day we should wake up and tell ourselves, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did on the cross. I'm going to wake up every day and I'm going to boast in the cross and what Jesus did. I'm not going to wake up every day and boast in myself. That's what the law is. The law speaks of man's strength. The law speaks of what man can do. So whenever you're thinking you're pleasing God through the law, you're boasting in your own strength. I know none of us realize that, but that's the truth of it. That's really what we're doing. And that leaves us unskilled in real righteousness because that's not the definition of righteousness in God's eyes. We're left unskilled in righteousness because God's idea of righteousness is faith, not the law. God calls righteousness faith, not the commandments or the law. He hits this again in Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. What have I been talking about right now, guys? I've been talking about repentance from thinking that our dead works make us righteous. Isn't that what I've been talking about? What does he call this? The principles of the doctrine of Christ is repentance from dead works. That's the beginning. Do you know, many Christians miss this, but repentance in the Bible is talking about repentance from the law. It's not talking about repentance from your sin. It's talking about repenting from the concept that the law can make you holy. That's what it's talking about. Repentance from dead works. What are all our works to make ourselves righteous with God? They're dead. They're dead. There's no life in our works, guys. There's no life in our works. And guys, I could say this with conviction because I grew up a Pharisee. I grew up criticizing people for their faults. I grew up seeking perfection in my own life and condemning people who didn't have what I considered to be the level of perfection. I was seeking God through dead works. The principles of the doctrine of Christ. You can't move on, guys, until you repent from the fact that our works are dead and it's faith towards God. I'm going to read that again because this is a powerful, powerful scripture when you start getting what this is talking about. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. I'm laying the foundation of repentance from dead works, guys, because we've all been taught wrong, and we're all trying to overcome dead works still. We're trying to awake to righteousness still. And praise God, he has got the church by the hand right now, and he is raising people up all over the world to walk us back into being awake to his righteousness and not to the law. It is springing up everywhere. And God sent us here because he wants to start this in this country, in Louisiana, because this country has been founded on works righteousness. Have you guys realized that? Everywhere you look, every church you go to, it's works righteousness. But that, the principles of the doctrine of Christ is the beginning, which is repentance from dead works. The word of righteousness is repentance from dead works. Does everybody understand repentance of dead works means that you repent from the idea that you're righteous because you follow the law and the commandments? Does everybody connect that to the fact that that means you should never feel any shame or guilt or condemnation when you fail or miss it? That means you're relying on your works if you allow that to come in. Now, we all hear that voice because the word Satan means the accuser. And so he wants to accuse us. He wants all of us to think that we're not righteous. He wants all of us to believe we're unrighteous. So he's going to accuse us, and he's going to try and condemn us, and he's going to try and make us feel guilt, and he's going to try and make us feel shame. But it's our job to awake to the righteousness of God. Repent from dead works and go on to faith towards God. Faith towards God, guys. That's what makes us righteous. Have faith in what God did. If you want to know that you're righteous, ask yourself, do I believe in what Jesus did on the cross? Do I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Do I believe that I can't get to God without Jesus? Then you're righteous. That's it. You're qualified. You're righteous. Now the question is, are you going to be aware? Are you going to be aware of how righteous you are? That's the big question. That's what we're asking ourselves today. That's what I had to ask myself over and over. Am I aware of how righteous I am? And the answer was no, I was not. I was not aware of how righteous I was. But praise God, when I started seeing that my righteousness had nothing to do with me and only to do with whether or not I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, whew, I wanted to sing. You know, you ever yodelay-hoo? You ever see those people and it echoes through the mountains? I mean, it was like a moment where you just or what is that spring commercial with the soap and you're bathing and they're singing out the window? I mean, that's how it felt. I felt ivory clean. I felt spring clean. The devil wants us to feel dirty. And he uses the law and the commandments to come against us, to leave us feeling that way. But if we're skilled in the word of righteousness, it won't work. Because every time he tries to condemn us, every time he tries to make us feel guilty, every time he tries to shame us, we'll say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Guys, you want to put that to work. People love practical things. That's a practical thing. Start putting that to work in your life the next time you feel shame, the next time you feel condemnation, the next time you feel guilt or you think you failed to live up to God's standard. Confess out loud, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I said that to myself 15 or 20 times yesterday. Not because I failed 15 or 20 times, but because I'm establishing myself in righteousness. I'm establishing myself in righteousness. And then guess what will happen? No weapon that is formed against me will prosper. Now, am I saying, when I call works righteousness and people teaching the law and the commandments from the pulpit, am I saying that they're of the devil? No, I'm not saying they're of the devil. I'm saying that they're confused about the covenant, okay? Because there's a lot of godly people that have also been taught wrong, okay? And they haven't received the truth. And we're going to demonstrate this through Romans 9, 30 and 32. And this tells us all. This lays the whole story of what we're saying here. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Guys, this sums up the whole thing that we're talking about here. Notice what he says here. The Gentiles, they followed not after righteousness. So in these passages here, who attained righteousness? The Gentiles. Did the Gentiles seek righteousness through the law and the commandments? Well, how could I'm confused. How did they attain righteousness if they didn't follow righteousness through the commandments and the law? Isn't that what makes a man righteous? Isn't that what we've been taught? They attained righteousness because they sought it by faith. That's why they attained righteousness. And look, those that were seeking after righteousness through the law, did they find righteousness? Did they attain to righteousness? No. And Paul's so awesome, he asked the question for us. Well, why not? If I follow the law, doesn't that make me righteous? If I follow the commandments, won't God be pleased with me? Won't he pour his favor out on me? Why? Why didn't Israel attain righteousness, even though they were seeking the law? Because they sought righteousness not by faith. God's righteousness comes by faith. Guys, the church has got us marred in this pit of seeking righteousness through the law and the commandments. That leaves us asleep to real righteousness. It leaves us as children being tossed to and fro. It leaves us unskilled in the word of righteousness. And the foundation of the believer's life is to be skilled in the word of righteousness. Israel was not skilled in the word of righteousness. Because they sought it through the law. They sought it through the commandments. The more we try and seek righteousness through the commandments and through the law, the more we will be unskilled in the word of righteousness. And the more we'll be tossed to and fro. The Gentiles, which followed not after the law of righteousness, they attained it because they accepted that it was by faith. It was real easy for them to accept that it was by faith because they weren't self-righteous. They weren't familiar with the law. Glory to God. Familiarity with the law as a means of earning righteousness leaves you separated from the promises of God. Leaves you separated from the promises of God. Are the promises still all yours? Yes. But you're not aware. You're not aware. You're Lord over all, but you're not aware, and you're left as a servant. What leaves us as a servant, even though we're Lord over all? Not being skilled in the word of righteousness. What is being skilled in the word of righteousness? Understanding that righteousness is a free gift that we receive through faith in the finished work of Jesus, and rejecting this concept that righteousness is through performing the commandments, or that we can gain and lose our righteousness if we follow the commandments or don't follow the commandments. That leaves us unskilled in the word of righteousness, guys. You can't be any more righteous. Once you accept Jesus, you're as righteous as you're ever going to be right then and there. You don't then move up the ladder of righteousness. You become more aware of righteousness. You ever been in a healing line or a healing circle and you see somebody who just got saved, receive some miraculous healing? I mean, I have. I've seen a guy with blind eyes, boom, that just got saved. That was wearing a biker jacket. Why did he receive? Because he knew it couldn't have been his righteousness. He knew that his works were all filthy. He knew it had to be the righteousness of God. It was easy for him to receive. Guys, the more we add in the commandments and the law, the harder it is for us to receive. That's what he's trying to talk about here. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone is earning righteousness through the commandments and the law. That's what the stumbling stone is. Does that sound like a familiar stumbling stone today? There's nothing new under the sun. Anybody ever heard Solomon say that? Everything that man has ever experienced, they continue to experience over and over and over again. We're experiencing the same thing in the church today, but not for long, because we're going to stomp on works righteousness, okay? There is ministries being built up all over the world that are going to stomp on this concept of works righteousness. And we're going to start teaching people about God's righteousness. And in this church, we're going to focus on the righteousness which is of God, which is faith, not the commandments. We're going to establish a foundation that is based on God's righteousness and not man's righteousness. The law is man's righteousness. The commandments is man's righteousness, not God's. It gets better. This carries on. So back to the people that are teaching the commandments and the law. I'm not saying that they're of the devil. I'm saying that doctrine is of the devil. And notice what Paul says about those people. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. The Jews who were seeking God through the law, they had a zeal for God, but what does he say? It wasn't according to knowledge. They didn't understand the new covenant. That's the problem with a lot of believers today, is that they don't understand the new covenant, and unfortunately, the churches they go to aren't teaching them the new covenant because the preachers don't understand the new covenant either. So they have a zeal for God. They really want to know God. They love the Lord. It's just they don't know what the new covenant is. They're not skilled in the word of righteousness. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, why don't they have a knowledge? Because they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and they go about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. These are scriptures that you don't really hear in the church. Why aren't we taught these scriptures? Why aren't we taught that having, if we seek righteousness through the law, that that's not according to knowledge. Why aren't we taught that? Has anybody ever heard that from the pulpit? Has anybody ever heard the pastor stand up and say, I just want everybody to know that if you're seeking God through the commandments and the law, then you're not seeking him according to knowledge. But that's the truth. That's what Paul's saying right here. That those who are seeking God through the commandments, they're not doing so according to knowledge. He goes on, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. A person seeking God through the commandments is ignorant of God's righteousness, guys. They're aware of man's righteousness. They are ignorant of God's righteousness. Okay? And they're going about to establish their own righteousness. What is it? What happens when you go about trying to establish your own righteousness? You don't submit yourselves unto God's righteousness. You become unskilled in the word of righteousness when you go about seeking to establish your own righteousness. Notice the key word here. See that word establish again? Wasn't that what it said in Isaiah 54:14? That we will be established in righteousness? Well, if we think we're displeasing to God every time we fail, we're not established in the word of righteousness, guys. If we think that every time we miss the commandment, if we think every time we don't follow a commandment that God's unhappy with us or we're less righteous than we were before, then that means that part of us is seeking to establish our own righteousness. And it means we're unskilled in the word of righteousness. You can't mix righteousness, guys. There is one righteousness. How many gods are there? One. There's one form of righteousness also. One. One God, one form of righteousness. Okay, that's it. His righteousness comes by faith. So they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Why haven't they submitted themselves to the righteousness that is of God? Because they don't get that Christ is the end of the commandments for righteousness to everyone that believes. Did everybody hear that? Christ is the end of the commandments for righteousness to everyone that believes. And I'm using that word commandment because it registers more in our society. In that society, it was the law that registered more for them. In Romans, Paul is talking to a church that is half Jewish and half Gentile. And when he's getting into this law talk, he's talking to Jewish people. So how many of you know, if this was a Jewish church, I'd be using the word law. But most people in here have Gentile in them or come from a Gentile descent. So we think of it as the commandments. Isn't that what we always hear? We got to have the Ten Commandments. We got to keep the Ten Commandments so everybody will know. That sounded noble, didn't it? Did you guys see some of that movement about keep the Ten Commandments in schools? That teaches kids to seek their own righteousness. You know what should have been in the schools? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That's what we want in the schools because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Don't believe me. It's right there in the Bible. You don't have to believe what I'm saying. I don't know if you guys noticed, but all I'm doing is reading these scriptures. I'm just reading these scriptures out loud. Back to Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Who is their righteousness of? Him. Where do we put ourselves up into that? How do we get to that place where we allow Satan to convince us that we're inserted into that? It does not say, and their righteousness is of themselves, saith the Lord. And their righteousness is of the law, saith the Lord. He doesn't say that. Why doesn't he say that? Because that's not real righteousness. Righteousness is his kind of righteousness. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Praise God. So that, you know, there's a funny commercial that I've seen around these parts for years, and it's made me laugh through my whole life, and I've told people about it when I was living in Colorado because it's just the wackiest, funniest commercial you see around here. And I always wondered why it stuck with me. And when I was doing this message, I kind of got it stuck in my head. I can insert that commercial into the message. And if anybody here is from these parts and you haven't seen this commercial, then you never watch TV. And maybe that's a good thing. But has anybody ever seen the Frankie and Johnny furniture store commercial? Okay. Well, what happens is that you get those people that walk up into the store to get furniture, and they're convinced that they don't qualify. And I filed bankruptcy yesterday. I filed bankruptcy 10 times in the last 10 days. I have a zero credit score. All they're talking about is how they can't possibly qualify, aren't they? And what does Frankie, or is it Johnny, what does he say? No, you're skipping the important part. He said, you got to see the special man. And what does the special man say? Let him have it. Okay? So guys, we're standing there, and we're running over all of our failures and all of our shames and all of our condemnation and all of our guilt and all of our failures to follow the commandments and the law, and we're convinced that that's going to disqualify us, that that disqualifies us from the promises, that that disqualifies us from being righteous. And do you know what God says? You got to see the special man. And the special man is Jesus. And what is Jesus saying? Let them have it. Brothers and sisters, you are all qualified for the promises and the blessings of God because you are righteous in Christ Jesus. Your righteousness is not in the law. You cannot be disqualified. The only way you won't experience these blessings and promises is if you're not aware of it. If you don't think that you qualify, if you let the devil throw those thoughts in your head, that's not for you. You sinned last week. That's not for you. You yelled at your husband this week. That's not for you. You're not as good of a husband as you should be. That's not for you. You smoked this week. That's not for you. You did this. You cussed out a driver. There's a million different things that the devil tries to condemn us for. And he does all of that to keep us from believing that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you know what? If you remove the law from your thinking, he can't condemn you anymore. He can't give you shame. He can't give you guilt. If you remove the law from your thinking about righteousness, that's being skilled in the word of righteousness, guys. Removing the law and the commandments from your thinking about righteousness. The devil tries to tell you that. No, no, no. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The next time you find yourself doing the very thing that you struggle with, say it out loud. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Start saying it to yourself. Start believing that what God says is true. That's all I'm telling you to do. I'm not telling you to believe what I'm saying. I'm just telling you to believe what the Scripture says. This teaching is also nothing new under the sun. This is all that Paul taught about. All Paul taught about was how righteous we were. That's what Paul taught about. He went all over the place teaching people about the word of righteousness. Do you know in 2 Corinthians it tells us that the new covenant is the ministry of righteousness? God has given us a ministry of righteousness, and nobody's preaching it. Nobody's teaching the ministry of righteousness. Do you know that Jesus, when he came on the scene, he stood in the congregation and declared righteousness? Whose righteousness do you think Jesus declared? He didn't declare the righteousness of man. He declared that righteousness was of God, and it was by faith. Why do you think the Pharisees hated him so much? If Jesus would have been in the congregation declaring the law, declaring the works of the law for righteousness, the Pharisees would have loved him. And the only time in the New Testament or in the Gospels that Jesus used the law against anyone is when they were self-righteous. That's the purpose of the law, guys, to show somebody how bad they need a Savior. That's why it was given. And we're going to start getting into this in the next few weeks because this is one of the foundation and this is the principle of walking in the victorious life. But there's a lot of other principles, and they all revolve around the new covenant and understanding what the new covenant says. And we're going to start getting into these things the next few weeks. We're going to start getting into the purpose of the law and why it was given. Because you should be asking yourself that question. You should be thinking, well, then what's the purpose of the law? If it's not to earn righteousness, what's the purpose for? We're going to get into that. We're going to get into the different covenants. We're going to get into the old covenant and the new covenant. and what the difference is and why the old covenant is obsolete. These kinds of things, guys, changed my life when I started seeing the truth. And there's nothing special about me. I got a human heart too. The human heart is made to receive grace from God. And when you start receiving grace from God, which is what he poured out through Jesus Christ, then you start walking in the victorious life. The ministry of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for the ministry of righteousness. Thank you, Father, that you've given us a covenant that's based on your righteousness and not our own. Thank you, Jesus, that you've ripped the law out of our relationship with you. Thank you, Father, that the word says that you nailed the law to the cross, that you nailed the ordinances that were against us to the cross, removing them from our way to you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your righteousness. Praise God. If any of you didn't get that out of this message, you are qualified for whatever it is you need in your life right now because you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The special man says, let him have it. Jesus says, let him have it. You're qualified. So if you need prayer or you need anything in your life, that's what we're here for. You're righteous. You're qualified for it. Expect to receive. Amen?